Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it's time now for The Food Show. The Food Show is very well named. We talk about food. And we talk about almost nothing else, although we have been known to get off on other subjects. If you want to join us, you are always welcome on our show, even if you're wondering if it's the right place, right time, to get in here and shoot the breeze. It's always okay. Don't worry about it. Of course, you know, we don't want you running around doing really strange things, but I don't have to tell you about that because there you are. And here we are. It's kind of a chilly day out there today, but the sort of sun is shining out there, but it's covered over with some Gwendolyn or what? Where did that come from?
Gwendolyn. I'm not certain. Yeah. I'm going to have to Google that. Gwendolyn.
I was hoping I would not catch you with that one.
I'm not even sure how I'm going to spell it.
Okay.
no, we don't have to try.
7 B R R 4 7.
That was close. That was close. Well, hello, Tom. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well. We are talking about you like crazy back and forth here. It's Don Clement, right?
Yes, the gourmet neighbor. Okay.
The gourmet neighbor,
yes.
Who lives next door to...
Pretty much.
To our radio station?
I live on Julia. It's about a five-minute walk.
And
a beautiful walk today. It's gorgeous out there.
I'll bet it is.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, we have all the girls here at the Coolwater Ranch. They're always got their eyes on the girls or the guys. It goes around different ways, everybody seems to be happy with the day today. And here we are. We have our radio station right next to where you live. Oh gosh, this
is
great.
It's quite convenient. We would love for you folks to give us a call, so we can talk about food, where you've been eating, what you've been eating.
Yeah.
And that's 260-6368. Give us a call. Talk to us.
Let me ask a quick question, not on you, but on other things.
Okay.
Over here on our radio equipment, sometimes we're about ready to go on the air, and something happens to kind of goober up the stuff. And I don't think we're having any problems like that today. Doug, you've got a good look on this. Anyway, just thought I'd mention it in case you hear something that puzzles
it
you.
It is all good, loud and clear here. We are perfect.
Oh, good.
Perfect, perfect.
Good.
Perfect.
I love to hear it.
So I
hey,
see.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, I see that you went to the Galatoire's auction last night.
I did indeed, and it was Marianne's idea.
Everything's
Marianne's idea.
It's a great
idea.
Yeah,
I think so. And here she was telling me that there's a big deal going on at Galatoire's, and you know that they've invited us to go, meaning her and me.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't we go? And I said, why? Of course. I mean, it's hard to reject such a thing as that.
So tell everybody, Tom, exactly what the auction is. I mean, folks are coming in there. They've been doing this for years, right?
Yeah.
And they're literally bidding on tables for, is it the Friday before Mardi Gras?
Which one to which other one. The deal is, let me just take it from the beginning and just get a hook onto it. What happened was that through most of its history, if you wanted to eat at Galatoire's, if you wanted to eat there, you had to wait in line on the street. And there were times when, even if you were a member of the family, if you were a very, very well-known politician, they would still make you stand in line. Well, everybody was always trying to think of ways to get through that, and it never really took particularly well. But then somebody on their staff What about this? Why don't we have
auction?
An auction, thank you. That's just the word I was going for. Why don't we have an auction, and in order to be part of the all of the wines and the food too,
right?
You'd have to get part of the. Give it to me one more time.
Part of the auction, so they do it like twice a year, and they auction off 162 seats, and I think it all goes to it's seven different charities. I know one of them is the New Orleans Ballet Association, Giving Hope, Bridge House, Junior Achievement. So it all goes to really great causes, and you're right. It's a great way to get people to not only be able to secure a seat at a really busy time, but it's also a great benefit, and I'm jealous. I wish I would have gone.
Oh, yeah. It's now, if I tell you what I'm going to tell you, you will be able to calm yourself down a little
bit.
And it is this. There are so many people who want to attend this, even at pretty high prices, that this auction, even that gets a little bit clogged. Not too bad. If you want to go and see the whole thing, you can do it. But the noise level is unbelievable in terms of how can any two people talk about it. But that's kind of normal at Galatoire's to begin with anyway.
There's nothing to absorb sound in the dining room. I mean, it's all tile. It bounces off the walls. It's sort of like Gautreaux's, too, is like that loud. No matter what you do, it's just loud.
Well, they are having a lot of luck with this anyway, and people are putting real money into this. And as you noted, there are some local organizations that have asked to be included in this, and they cover a whole bunch of different things. Some of them are really obvious, like Christmas and before
Mardi
that.
Gras. Yeah, those
and
type
Mardi
of
Gras, for
holidays.
Sure. And it just works its way through this, and it's getting better and better year after year. It's so exciting. Really, it's exciting. But you reach to a point when there are so many people in there.
Right.
They do a genuine
auction gets to be loud. Let me throw something out to the audience, because I really want some folks to call 260-6.
Let me put my handle guard on.
There you go. You got a handle on it. Give us a call at 260-6368. I want to see, Tom, if anyone is already thinking about Valentine's Day.
Because
we're going to be in the throes of Mardi Gras. The good thing is it's a week before we really get into high gear, serious, hardcore parades. So it's that Thursday. And if you're not thinking about Valentine's Day, you really should be, because now is the time to make those reservations. So if you've made a reservation or you have an idea, give us a call and tell us where you're going.
It's a good idea. And we're kind of edging our way onto that level anyway, so it's making a lot of sense to a lot of people. And there was a lot of laughing and a lot of partying and all of that. But you brought up an interesting question. It started off with really just two of them. One was Mardi Gras and the other one was Easter. Not Easter.
We're going back to Galatoire's.
Galatoire's.
Okay, we're back to Galatoire's now. Okay.
Back to Galatoire's.
I went from Valentine's Day to Mardi Gras to Galatoire's. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place today.
Oh, well, I know what that feels like. But anyway, where was I? What's going on, basically, is they're following the themes of the time. Like, for years now, they've been doing Halloween with this whole scene here.
Right.
And it works just as well, brings in a lot of money for the charities involved. And
which
one
is
other
an
thing,
awesome thing. That's a great thing.
You mentioned something about how the auctions work.
The charity.
It moves around from operation to operation. They change it every time. The organizations that's getting the benefit of it.
Gets the benefit. Look, Galatoire's has always been great to the community, and I know that we've been good to them, but they're definitely a restaurant that gives back. So that's an awesome, awesome thing. So for Valentine's Day, Tom, I stay home. I cook. It's like New Year's Eve. It's like it's amateur night. And I get frustrated because the restaurants are so busy. And it's like, I can do this so much better than they can.
Yeah.
Devin. Hello, Devin. How are you, sir?
Devin?
Well, hello.
Hi.
It most certainly.
It is the food show. Come on in. Every day for the last 30 years.
No, I'm only 22, so I have not done this every day for the last 30 years.
Oh, you know these people?
No.
Oh, well, no wonder we did.
That is correct. That is, snuck in.
Well, you know, it had...
this is Don Clement, Devin, the gourmet neighbor. So Devin, Let me ask you, Devin, what are you doing, or have you even begun to think about Valentine's Day? What's up? Okay.
All right. Ah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh. I'm looking for some mom and pop, but I'm also looking for something, you know, really extravagant, something that I never remember forever. Yeah,
my favorite, my all-time favorite. It's absolutely gorgeous. Mm. The food is over the top. I don't think that... In my personal opinion, it can't be touched. I have probably eaten there close to 30 times. I have never left disappointed. We just went a couple of weeks ago, and the food, the level of service, and the atmosphere are worth every penny. It is just absolutely delicious.
Where is this that you're...
Revolution.
Oh, Revolution, yeah.
So throw one out, Tom.
That's a good one to pick because even though they've been open and in business for what? How many years?
Six
now?
Years.
Six. I was going to guess a little higher than that, but you clearly have the right number. And I think most local people aren't even aware of the place,
because so sad.
Because of its location, which is a little hard to get to. But once you're there and you're making it happen, that is, first of all, it's a beautiful restaurant. And the variety on their menu is terrific. So that's a really good one you've chosen.
So give him another one, Tom. He wants three. He wants high-end, so I think that... Your turn, Tom.
Okay. Mr. B's. Mr. B's.
Totally agree.
About a week ago, I wrote a column for one of the columns I write for and mentioned that it's the most important restaurant in the French Quarter. Because it completely changed the way that we start eating and drinking, especially where you'd wind yourself in the supermarket. Not the supermarket, but in the place there. And that's gone back, let's see, they opened up originally in 1987, I think,
yeah.
Something like that. It's around there.
And if I may add, it...
Sure. Sure. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, let's see.
B.
It's Mr. B as in B. Bug. Okay. So it's in the French Quarter, just about one block off Canal mm-hmm. Street, which is right in the middle of everything. And it is decidedly Creole, Cajun, mostly Creole rather than Cajun. Cooking there. They have taken a few classic dishes. The most notable one to me is their barbecue shrimp, which for my money is like the second or third best dish in. What these guys have done was to make everything, all of the dishes that have come out of the barbecue shrimp thing, and have hugely improved that. And that's just one particular item, and there are plenty others that way. Their gumbo is, I think, pretty darn close to the best one. Their bread pudding, I think, is definitely the best in town. It's almost like a feather floating across the dining room.
I just got a visual of that. I just got a visual. Devin, it's in the 200 block of Royal Street on the corner of Iberville and Royal. You can't miss it, and I definitely agree. It is the single most consistent restaurant in the city. If you send someone there, you go, you will not be disappointed. It's always perfect.
Yeah. Here's the...
Katie's.
What are you asking for?
Lunch.
Lunch.
Katie's.
Katie's. Oh, Katie's is, it's interesting. It's like 12 different restaurants all wrapped up in one book or one
pizza
maybe
to
even po radio
boy. Pizza
show.
To po' boys, all in one
they
place.
All in one place, and it's great ingredients. It's inexpensive, really. It's mm-hmm. almost cheap. And they have this, it's kind of pick up the next pile in and move on to the first one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how they work around there. It's they just let it happen.
Can we give you a little bit of lagniappe, Devin? I know you've been here for, you said, 8 years. I'm not sure if you know what lagniappe means. It's a little bit extra. Mandina's, Devin. Mandina's. Don't miss Mandina's on Canal either. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Other waitstaff is they're very mature, but they're great.
Well, isn't this nice? We all agree with one another. This is good.
Call us back, Devin, and let us know where you went and tell us how it was and if Mimi and your mom enjoyed it or not, please.
That would be nice.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
See ya. It's the food show. Boy, he just walked right in, didn't he?
He sure did.
And he opened up just the kind of things that I like for us to start at the top of the show. But we have some thoughts from the other parts of the city.
We're about to hear it. Take a break, Tom.
That's what I saw
there we
coming.
Go.
Oh,
Let's,
and there it went. No,
we'll
here,
be back
it is.
On the flip side.
Here we come. Hi, it's the food show, everybody. And it's me, Tom Fitzmaurice. And then joining us today is Don Clement. He is from the place next door, the joint next door.
The joint
like
next
that.
Door, yeah. The joint yeah. next door. Hello.
The heave-ho. Well, yeah. how you doing so far?
I'm good, sir. You know, that commercial reminded me of one of my favorite places in the whole world to go.
Where is that?
Dornax.
Oh,
Dornax. I go every day on my lunch hour, and that's when I figure out what I'm going to cook for the night. I know everybody from the front door to the back door. It is just, I hope places like that never go away. I love them.
You are tweaking my heart or something like that. You know, I was just thinking about this a few days ago. If you were to go to out to get some groceries for something you want to cook that day or tomorrow, there are supermarkets coming in from all over the world nowadays that have names that we've never seen before and that are still in the area anyway, and they just keep on going, and everybody talks about how terrific their ingredients are and how cool this is. And then you kind of ease your way over to Dornax, and it just hits you immediately. Mm-hmm. This is a place for which all of this discussion operates very much on its own.
And Rouse's is a very close second. I love Rouse's as well. Let me tell you what I can't get. You talked about groceries coming in from all over the country, from these different places.
Yeah.
I don't get Trader Joe's.
Me neither.
Explain
I have no idea.
That to me.
Marianne is crazy about the
Why?
Place. I don't know.
Well, she goes for the chocolate. She goes for one reason.
Oh,
there's a product
that may
she
well
wants.
Be it.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, the produce looks all, to me personally, it looks shriveled. It looks like it's been there forever. The flowers are shabby. And everything else is just processed stuff. You know?
By the way, just in case somebody just walked in just now, he wasn't talking about how bad.
No. Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's. And it's not that it's bad. It's not my thing. And obviously it's somebody's thing because it has a huge following. So it is definitely somebody's thing.
I don't get it.
Not
either.
Not me.
But anyhow, we're lucky enough. We always have had a lot of good groceries. You know, I have one point of looking up. And this, if I may take up some of your time.
Of course.
Is this your time or my time or everybody's?
It's your time.
Well, anyway, here's
I'm just here as filler.
My mother and my father, who lived across from one another, actually, they were married and everything. So, yeah, it was a nice little classic family. We lived on the corner of Ursuline and Moray. This is right in the middle of the whole, the part of that district, the Treme district. And my mother would walk across the street, which was directly across the street from this man whose name was, I'll tell you in a minute when I think of it a minute.
It's but good.
He had this guy, he was a butcher. And my mother was a very good cook. And what they would do is get together and say, okay, what are we going to cook today? And my mother would go over there and said, and tomorrow I'm going to want, and then everybody goes back
great,
to this.
Isn't that a great thing?
And the entire staff of...
they all knew each other.
It was one person. It was that one butcher.
So my great-grandmother used to own, and some folks out there may still remember this, a grocery store in the Ninth Ward called Crefassi's.
Crefassi's. Oh, you stumped me on that.
Crefassi's, and it was a small grocery. You know, the entire family worked in it. The brothers worked in it. And, you know, that was the old-time butcher. And I remember we'd go every Friday with my grandmother and grandfather, and all of the men would stay in the front of the store after it was closed, and they'd lock it up, and they'd all be in the front drinking beer and, you know, telling tales from the week, and all of my aunts would go through and shop in this closed grocery store. So I think that my fascination for grocery stores happened then because, like, I used to run around this empty grocery store as this, you know, six-year-old kid, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. So that's what I look for when I look for a grocery store. I look to go somewhere where I know people, and now I do. When I walk up to the butcher, be it at Langenstein's or Dornack's or Route, they know who I am. I ask for something, and that's things that are going away in the rest of the country, and how sad. Just sad.
It really is, and when there is so much else that could be out there to so many people. But, you know, who the heck we think we are anyway?
Well, we ate too much, Tom, this weekend again.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you.
Crefassi, huh?
Yeah, Crefassi. No, but that's the grocery. I move quick. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I said we ate too much this weekend again, which is what we seem to do. We went to two restaurants this weekend, and both meals were really great. So we started at Sophia, which is literally a half a block from the house.
I was just looking at the menu for that place just yesterday.
Well,
and
it's good.
It is good, but there's one thing about it that catches me, and it has no real meaning, but I feel like I have to say it anyway.
Sure.
Once you're around there, you know what? Can we put this off till a little bit later?
If we must, yes.
But I had
a great meal there. I was going to tell you about it.
Oh yeah, there's no question about
it.
Can
I tell you about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we went with another couple, which was great because we always, you know, like to share things, like to talk about it, and we started with the House Ricotta,
the House of Ricotta.
Yeah, and it was
wow.
It is not only is it beautiful visually, but it comes with this warm focaccia that I could have eaten with anything on it or nothing on it. It's got some fresh local clover honey, some fennel pollen, and some alapepo. And alapepo can be a little hotter than you think.
Yeah. You know, that is something that most restaurants, at least that have the guts to do it, they make their own...
alapepo.
All of it.
Alapepo.
They do it in-house.
Alapepo. That's how you say it. Sorry. Alapepo.
Yeah. Alapepo.
And then we did some pastas. Sorry. We did the shiitsu peppers, and they were very good. They were blistered. They had some nice flavors. I think there was a little bit too much for my liking of the ricotta salata. It had a lot of cheese on it. And you know, these peppers really don't need a lot of added flavor because they have their own flavor.
Yep.
And you know the story with these shiito peppers. So you can have one that's really sweet and really mild. Then you get one, and it's off the chart hot. And there's no way to tell by looking at it. So it's kind of hit or miss, you know? And then we got some. We did some pastas. We got the pasta alla vodka. We did the blue crab.
Pasta alla vodka. A vodka, you said?
You know, with a little vodka sauce. You know, the red sauce, the marinara with the red sauce.
You know, there was something I remember seeing years ago to the effect of what are the allowable from the organizations that check out these things, that you had to make if in order to give a definition of what it is you're trying to sell. And vodka, the description official, the description of vodka is it has no flavor, no aroma.
And that's
how
true.
How do you work? What can you possibly get out of that?
I can only assume that there's a history to the dish because, of course, there's like you said, there's no flavor from vodka. I mean, all you taste is the sauce. And that I was kind of iffy on because it's really, you know, it's just there. There's nothing with it. There's no protein. There's no nothing. That came out to be the hit of the night. And I think it was because they had this subtle chili flake flavor that came through, and it sort of just smacked you behind the head, but only slightly. That was good. Blue crab risotto, absolutely delicious. And then we did
it can be done.
Then they had a tortellini, but it was done with the cacio. How you say that? Cacio e pepe? Cacio e pepe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's where you have the little BBs of black.
Good stuff.
Pepper.
Good stuff. Then we got the gnocchi. And you know, they were so sweet. I can't remember her name. She's so sweet who manages the front of the house. And the gnocchi, she noticed we weren't touching. And it was really, really oversalted. I truly think somebody accidentally salted it twice by mistake. And she ran another one out so fast, and it was perfect. It was perfect. So, you know, like we talk about here, there are always going to be problems in restaurants, but it's how you solve the problems that make the difference.
Oh, that's all of life.
True.
Beyond that.
So give us a call, please. We would love to speak to you at 260-6368. Tell us what you're doing for Valentine's Day. Where are you eating? Are you cooking? Or where have you been? Send me somewhere new this weekend. I'd love to go to new places.
Well, and I don't know if this will come up or not, but if it doesn't, I'm going to give it to you anyway. And that is when you start getting into the violins and all of the romance and all of that, Valentine's Day, be aware that you are about to get into something that is very, very popular. And because of the popularity, it's hard to get anybody to serve it to you, too. This is reservations are essential. There's no question about that.
Need to do it today. You know, you said violin.
There you go.
You said violins. It's so funny. So my oldest daughter moved back, from Virginia just Sunday. And we decided to take her to Carl's Fried Chicken in the Roosevelt because it's so good.
That is really something. Well, wait till you get a kick out of that.
The significance of the room, of course, is that it used to be the now I'm at a loss.
It used to be WWL Radio.
No, the Fairmont. What was the restaurant in the Fairmont?
The Roosevelt Hotel. It was
next
the,
to the Sazerac. It
was the Sazerac. That was
so,
the name.
You're right. That was the name. So that's when it was all crushed red velvet, and they had the strolling Constantina, and they had the ice swans that lit up with the intermezzo. Well, that's where my wife and I were engaged, as cheesy as that may seem.
Well, thank me, because the first person who ever saw those ice carvings that they still do.
They don't do them anymore. Those are gone.
They had them for a long time.
Yeah, they're gone. That place is history.
But I carried it to the back door, which is where they started proceeding it out in the rest of the place.
Well, it was a nice touch, but I'm telling you, last night, Carl's Fried Chicken, if you haven't done it, it's $20.20. It is absolutely the best fried chicken you will ever eat. The sides are endless. His red beans are creamy, smooth, delicious. His coleslaw is great. And he is just the nicest person ever. And that's at the Fountain Lounge. It's great. Every Monday.
That's a confusing thing. It was one, and then they changed it back to the other one, and then they changed it back to the first one. So yeah. It's no wonder it's hard to figure out which hotel is which.
It is time for us to take a break, and you're listening to it, The Food Show at 105.3 FM, HD2, WWL, New Orleans.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Would you like your goodies? No, I had a better one than that. No.
Goodies.
Yeah, you don't want that anymore.
No, we're going to leave that alone.
Yeah, that's just don't do it.
No.
We were getting back just for a second. I can't think without putting this out one more time. This was a little bit of talk about vodka and the fact that by law it is required to have no flavor and no taste. A friend of mine who was in the wine business for a really long time, Paul Labriere, I'm not even 100% sure he's still around, but I hope he is because he was a great guy. Anyway, he was a serious wine guy. And once we got to talking about vodka, and he said, well, the way I like to have vodka is to hit myself over the head with it and then take a sip. I think I had it backwards there.
I'm not – and I do agree that it's kind of tasteless, but I don't know because I really like a vodka martini and I pretty much could use one right now. That'd be awesome. But I can tell you that Grey Goose is first, Kettle is second, and Tito's belongs nowhere. That's just my opinion.
Yeah,
so,
well, there
so
you
it
go.
So it must have a taste, right? If I can tell the difference.
It's the federal government actually says it has to be
what are they
no taste and no aroma.
What are
now,
they?
How do you get around that?
And what does the federal government know anyway? Nothing about
vodka. Well, I agree with you on that, but we can't all solve every problem.
No, but now I'm craving blue cheese, olives, and vodka, I'm just going to say.
Yeah?
Yeah, just going to say.
Well, why not?
Why not?
Last night I was at the Galatoire's big auction, and Marianne was saying, are you getting a cocktail? And I said, well, I'm not sure, I might. And then it revealed that what she was doing was trying to talk me out of having or it might have been the other way around. It's one of those deals.
You see, nobody ever has to ask me if I'm having a cocktail. They just have to ask me
which kind
of cocktail. Yes, they know.
Yeah.
And most places I go know what to bring to me anyway, so it's a good thing. Yeah.
What is your what's your taste when it comes to cocktails?
Definitely, I lean toward the bourbons.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like the bourbons. Sometimes in the summer, I'll get into gin. If my wife wants to go shopping, she always wants me to have a gin before I go because I become very much the yes man.
How about how about Manhattan?
I am more of a old-fashioned guy than a Manhattan. I can have a Manhattan every now and then, but I prefer an old-fashioned.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island, too. I'm making up lyrics as I go along.
It's close enough. It's close enough. So let me see.
Shoots me up.
What? I need a new place to eat this weekend. So
you do?
Yeah, somebody call and give me a really cool place, please. 260-6368, something that's a little on the hipper side. Like I said, my daughter, she's 27. She moved back, so I want to take her somewhere that, she would really like. I know that on Friday night, we're probably going to do something more traditional, like a Mandina's or something like that. But I'd like to bring her somewhere on the hipper side of things.
I've got one.
Tell me, where?
Patois.
You think Patois is hip?
You don't think so?
I don't know about hip. Patois.
Gosh, I like it.
Okay, good, but I don't think I'd refer to it as hip.
Well, it goes to show that here I am in that part of the spectrum of people who are in the month, who were the people who were with the
millennials.
One before that.
I don't know. Baby boomers, Generation X, I don't know.
Anyway,
we do food here. We don't do all that other stuff.
Yeah, you're right. I'm always going over to Pelican Club. Have you done Pelican Club lately?
You know, I've done it a lot, and I really liked it, and I've got to go back because it's not fair. It's not fair because I had one bad experience out of probably 100. And you know what? If I had one bad experience out of 100... That's damn good. So I need to go back and give them another shot.
Good. This, it all calculated in my mind as to why I was interested in patois. And that is because it's associated, I would have to check this before saying for sure that this is true, but I'm pretty sure it is. And Clancy's, they're only like two blocks away from one another.
It may be.
And Clancy's, I think, is just a really great place. And, you know, we never talk about it here. I don't know why. We never talk about
it. It doesn't come up, does it? Why doesn't it come
up?
No,
I don't know.
But it should. It's a cool place.
Well, let's see
place.
If we can find, if anybody out there, you know enough about Clancy's that you can tell us one or two words about it. And what we'll give you in return is...
we'll listen.
Nothing. I'm sorry. We don't have any.
We'll just listen. So restaurant number two this weekend, which to me was a sleeper because I had passed it up. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
Have you been to Bordeaux on Magazine?
We have been there twice that I know of, but on both occasions there was a problem with heat or cold.
Well, it's wide open.
It seems like it is when it's when it ought to be closed, and then the other way around. But as a result of that, I found it unlivable. So
really?
I'd have to go again. The food was good. The guys that operate it clearly know what they're talking about. But I just seem to pick the wrong days, wrong time, wrong ingredients. But, you know, as you said just now about another restaurant, you know, you can't condemn everything
right
away.
That's right. Well, we enjoyed it, and it was a chilly night, so they had the plastic down, you know, that rolls down.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And they had the heaters on. That was cool. We got there.
You should have been in it when they had the 94-degree
temperature. Oh, no. I wouldn't. Well, and I imagine there is no way to really cool it because it's wide open. So we arrived with another couple, and she couldn't find our reservation, and she was very upset about that. And said, it's okay. She said, no, let's go to the chef's table. So she brought us to the chef's table. She brought out a beautiful bottle of cava and said, look, this is on us. I'm so sorry for the confusion. And what ensued was a great meal.
Ensued.
What followed?
What followed? Thank goodness.
What was a great meal? We started with an appetizer special, which was this large bone, of course, with marrow, a big marrow bone, filled. Listen to this, with escargot. And when you drag that escargot, Tom, through that bone marrow.
And I'll tell you what you have if you do that. You had my father's favorite thing to eat.
Oh, I could see
all the things you just. He loved marrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he felt about escargot, but he had a joke about it that he would tell pretty often. So he kind of liked it.
About
the
escargot?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say what is it, but I'm going to do it anyway.
What?
The joke.
Do
you remember your father's joke about the escargot? I'm going to be so sorry I did this.
I'm thinking exactly the same way. I think you're going to get away unscathed.
All right, we're going to go.
He thought the whole idea
was crazy
of gourmet food. He used to pick on me. Now he said, "Are you one of the gourmet guys?" And then he'd start laughing. The gourmet guys that have the chocolate wrap on ants, which is an existing thing out there.
You can have mine. You can have mine.
Hey, that's one of my lines.
Yeah, well, sorry. So you know what really stands out about Bordeaux? Did you notice that huge, beautiful, gorgeous rotisserie they have?
Oh, in France, they are crazy about those.
But there's one in Bordeaux. There's one on Bordeaux on Magazine Street, and that is what truly changes the food. So it's like this $35,000 rotisserie. It's gorgeous, and what comes off of this is so good. They had pheasant, they had guinea fowl, they had lamb, they had what do you call the the French call the steak the entrecote? Is that what they call it?
Entrecote, that would apply to what we would call a
Ribeye.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it came beautifully charred on the outside. It was. It wasn't like a prime rib, where it's, you know, it's all soft and. I'm not a fan of prime rib, but it was cooked through. It's great. It was so good.
There are places where it's really good, but it's not my favorite steak. What is your favorite steak?
A steakhouse? I was listening to you the other day. Well, both. I always get the filet because my wife and I split a filet because that's what she likes. And I think a filet is great.
Uh-huh.
I do like the ribeye cooked correctly.
Yeah.
Which is
what?
Medium rare. A little char on the outside. I would love to see it Pittsburgh style, maybe a little black and blue almost.
You would not be well served if you did it with that cut of meat. And
true.
I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
It will blacken around the edges and on top and on the bottom.
And nowhere else.
Whereas if you took exactly the same cut of beef at the same quality level, which would be a filet, you'll see immediately a difference in that. All of the textures are just right. Whereas with a ribeye, there are a lot of people that love those, and I am too on a couple of cuts, but not all the time.
So if you go, this is something Devin called before about Revolution, and one of the biggest secrets about Revolution is, their steaks are phenomenal. And he will do it Pittsburgh style. He's got like six or seven different preparations, and you select the style, you select the sauce. Great. But my favorite, I was listening to the other day, and I have some that I would disagree with you on, some that I would agree. For my money, the best steak in the city, especially because of the appetizers, Desi Vega, hands down. Winner. Love it.
I think there's not much difference between you and me if that's how you feel.
Yeah.
I think that's a really well-operated steakhouse. And they show up and they put a steak in front of you, let's say a strip, a New York strip. And I'll look at it and see that, you know, half of it is getting it really tight. And the other half is beautiful, but not properly cooked. I don't think you would, because you did everything the right way. You just described
was
is exactly the way I do it.
I love Desi's. I love the shrimp appetizer they have is awesome. It's, you know, when you go to a steakhouse, it's about the sides. Let's face it. You know, if you get prime beef, and you have somebody that knows how to cook prime beef, the rest of it are the accoutrements. What do you have with it? That's so important. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a steakhouse that just has these pedestrian, blasé sides, you know, don't bring me a piece of broccoli call it a side. That's not a side.
Are you talking about these people who are just walking around?
Yeah, that's kind of what the sides look like, people just walking around.
And, I don't know. I had a joke going in there, but it blew up.
And I blew it. I
beat you to it. I blew it first.
But I love Desi's. Now I want to go to Desi's, and I'm not going to Desi's tonight. So anyway.
Yeah. Desi's is surprisingly good. And then even their prices I find pretty good. Last time I was there, New York strip for I think it was 12 ounces. 12?
Uh-huh.
Or that would be ounces, would it?
Yeah.
It was $45, which is a much lower price tag than I have seen with comparable beef.
And I find that they have very good prices on their wine, which, of course, encourages you to buy wine, and that's a good thing. You know, I hate to go in these places, and I look at a wine list, and I get it. You know, they've got the sommelier, and the sommelier's got to show off, and they got to polish all this stuff.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But when I'm looking for a bottle of wine, and the least expensive bottle is $120, $130, then I'm just going to say, you know what? We're going to go by the glass. Give me the box wine and the glass, because I'm going to skip the bottle. I just think that things need to be
perfect. All the time.
Well, more in commensurate with what you want to spend, you know?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So sometimes the wine is lost, but sometimes they get it. Give us a call. I need to know where to go. Saturday night, 260-6368, something a little hip. I'm really ready to try Cuvant. I think maybe it is well-aged now. I'm ready to try Cuvant.
When I first walked in there, I said to myself, wow, this is not even close to being put together.
But it's it is gorgeous, though.
It is. Well, no, I think they've covered up everything else I would complain about.
Oh, good.
There were a couple of things. The one that gave me the need to scratch my head a little bit, that was this fish that they were bringing in, and it took me a minute to realize what it was. It was a, what do they call those? It sits on the very bottom, and you have to live somewhere.
Like a
somewhere where you can see all the way to the bottom, and the catfish is flopped. This is not catfish. This is
A fish, not a Dover sole.
It's a fish.
Not a, I don't know.
Anyway, it's, there's a name for this, and once again,
Skate.
That's exactly
course, skate.
It. You
yes.
got it.
Yes.
You got it. So, the, texture and the flavor of that, it's like the best flounder you've ever eaten in your life. I'd say it's even better than, the stuff that comes over from England.
Dover sole,
which mm-hmm. I think is the most overrated
so
fish
do I.
Out there. It just leaves me stone cold.
They must have had a great marketing department in the 60s.
You know who really loves it is Chef Andrea.
Well, you like what you...
Well,
now
sure.
The skate is like traditionally done really simply, isn't it? Like butter,
yeah.
Lemon, maybe some capers, and that's it, right?
Hot pan or hot grill.
Right.
Flop one time, sizzling butter to a certain extent.
All right,
eat them up.
Okay, so if no one else calls with this fantastic idea, it is time to stick my head in Cuvant. And again, we always like to go with at least four or six of us,
uh-huh.
So we could
call
all,
me.
Oh, come on out. We go every Saturday night.
Oh, I can't do it.
Oh, you.
Wait. No, I can't. I mean,
okay.
It's the problem is I live on the North Shore.
That is a problem.
And it is. And the other thing is that I, you know, I have my singing gig.
Oh, you sing in a lounge, right?
What?
You sing in a lounge, or what do you do over there?
No, I sing for a group of...
A choir or a chorus or a...
It's kind of a... Yeah, it's a chorus. That's what...
Chorus. There you go. Okay. Well, I'm usually singing on Saturday night, but that's after a couple of bourbons.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. But if no one else calls, I'm going to try. I am going to try Cuvant, and we're going to go see, and then we will call you.
I think
you'll
be happy with that. Yeah.
I tell you what, it is a beautiful place. I don't know who designed it, but he or she did a. It just you walk in, and it looks like you are nowhere in the city of New Orleans. Looks like you're somewhere
else. Where is
that? Cuvant.
Oh, Cuvant. Yeah. Well, it's in a hotel.
But it's beautiful. It doesn't feel like you're in a hotel.
Although, you know, I will. This is one of those oddball things to talk about. When I go there, and I've been there about four or five times.
Should I give your name?
Yeah, my name?
I'm just
to whom? Okay,
I'm
sure. You can give my name. Anyway, where was I?
When you walked in Cuvant, something disturbed you.
Yeah, and it's not when I walked in. It happens after I'm finished and paid the check and all those things, and then I'm heading for the men's room. And then it happens every time I get lost.
I was so afraid
time,
as to where we were going with this.
I every time I've been there. Now
it is hidden. The men's room is hidden, and it's about a block away.
Yeah, I told the maitre d' and the manager, and before I told them, before we're sitting down at all, I want you to know that I'm going to be stuck in some part of this place where I'm not going to know where I am.
Well, you
next thing you know, I'm in a hospital.
Well, you had paid the bill, so they probably weren't concerned.
yeah, probably not. But that's what it took.
All right.
But once we got it figured, I still can't figure it out. I have to have a map.
Do your thing, Tom. Close us out at the top of the hour.
WWL Radio New Orleans. WWL FM HD1 Kenner New Orleans, where the news is next over most of these same frequencies on CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.